she's able. So are there any petitions to table at this point in time? Counselor?
Sorry, Mayor Norman.
Sure.
No petitions, but if our communications person is only going to be 5 minutes, I personally would rather wait for her to have our stream set back up so we can allow.
What's the majority of council feel? Do you want to wait? Do you want to
wait.
Take another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're back up and running. Are there any petitions to table? Hearing none, public question comment session. Our mic is there. If you wish to make any public comments, you identify your name, your civic address, and you have 5 minutes. And you stand, Lynn?
I need to put my papers down.
Okay.
That's okay, darling? Okay. And is this on? Hello?
Is the blue light lit up?
Hello?
Light on?
Yeah, it's on, but.
It's recording.
It is.
You can hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Mayor Norman, councilors, and regional staff. My name is Lynn Cochran. I'm here today representing the Astor Theater Society Board, along with the board chair, John Simmons, and our executive director from the theater, Jean Robinson-Dexter. So I would like to say that we appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about the Astor Theater and the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. We appreciate that the region is the caretaker of these treasured assets. The Astor Theater is a tenant. Astor Theater Society is a tenant of the buildings, and it's our responsibility to ensure the buildings serve the community in the manner that they are intended, which is a safe, publicly accessible, inclusive, cultural and performing arts center. We also appreciate council and region have many diverse and sometimes conflicting needs and wants that need to be addressed. But due to surmounting economic, cultural, and public safety issues surrounding the Astor and the Town Hall, we are asking you to give us your approval to move ahead with a much needed HVAC system and give it priority over other community projects whose circumstances are less time sensitive and dire. The Astor Town Hall, Astor and the Town Hall are economic drivers for the region and should be given your full attention. With longer, hotter summers, we're facing being closed for 4 months rather than the 3 we have been dealing with, putting at risk events and community programming. June to September are prime tourist months, so considerable opportunity is lost to the Astor as well as Queens community. As a not-for-profit, theater closures reduce ticket sales and commercial rentals. Due to patron-client discomfort, this is making it increasingly difficult for us to operate. The health and safety of our staff, volunteers, and patrons, as well as clients, also puts us at risk. We rent out space in the town, in the Arts and Cultural Center of the Town Hall to outside groups, so we have clients as well. Arts and culture grants, donor contributions don't cover our costs, so strong ticket sales and rentals are paramount to us filling the gap. We need that. We ask now that you allow us to move ahead immediately with an HVAC project to ensure the buildings meet environmental, heritage, and most importantly, acoustic standards for performing arts and cultural building. The first step is for you to give us your approval to apply for the Green and Inclusive Community Buildings Grant from Infrastructure Canada. You want to pass those out? That if we're successful, and really every theater like us has been successful all around the Maritimes to date, so we expect that we will be. But if successful, it will pay up to 80% of our project, saving Queen's taxpayers from footing the bill. This, along with other available grants, would ensure the Astor Theatre Society has the resources to pay for the expertise required to do the project in a professional and timely manner with minimal impact on the Queen's region's resources. The submissions close in 2 weeks' time, February returned the documents that we just passed out to action two. It's at the back. I've dog-eared it for you. It's the last dog ear. It highlights the area that we need the region to allow us to pick. And it basically attests that to the affirmative that if we're successful, the region has our region gives us the approval to carry out the proposed project. That's all we're asking for here today. If we're successful in getting the grant, then we obviously have a whole project plan to put in place. But we will have the resources. The Astor Theater Society will have the resources that are successful from not only this grant, but many other grants that are available to completely fund our project. And also, it would include the accessibility projects, such as the wheelchair ramp we've already spent money on, the electric door. We would have better quality washrooms for accessibility. This is all concluded under this same grant. So we're not only asking you to let us get some money for the HVAC system, we're also asking you to give us some money that we can recoup to you for the expenses you've already incurred on the building. So there are, and there are also many other aspects under this grant. You could get money for the pool, you could get money for the new library. This is quite an important grant. So as time is against us, we ask for your immediate support to proceed with the grant application. I know you join us in acknowledging that the Astor Theater and the Town Hall are very valued assets to Queens. Everyone refers to them as our cultural gems. So they need protecting. So thank you for your support here today. And if there are any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them.
Generally, at public question comment session, it's an opportunity for the public to comment. It's not a debate between the presenter and the public.
I'm not looking for a debate. I just wanted to qualify anything further if anybody had any questions. Okay, thank
Seeing
you very
none.
Much for your time, and we'll look forward to hearing the proceedings.
Seeing none, is there anyone else who wishes to make any comments?
Christian. I'm the vice chair of the South Queens Chamber of Commerce, and I'm coming to you today.
Civic address.
38
right.
Mansfield Drive, Liverpool.
Thank you.
I'm coming here today with respect to an item on the agenda, our hanging flower baskets that the chamber has put up around town for the last few years. These flower baskets started as a fundraiser for the chamber, and with rising costs, that's no longer the case. In 2023, we will not be going forward with the flower baskets. So that is for two reasons. Firstly, fiscally, it's no longer something that we can take on. In 2022, we suffered a shortfall of over $4,000 for the cost of the flower baskets. For a not-for-profit community group, it was devastating for us this year. Secondly, the flower baskets are no longer in line with our strategic vision for the chamber. In looking at other municipalities around Nova Scotia and the country, it seems like it's a project that would be more aligned with the municipality. So we come to you asking for your help in taking this over. We think that the flower baskets really add something beautiful to Bristol Avenue and downtown Queens County, Liverpool. We're happy to gift the flower baskets. We purchased them 2 years ago. They're beautiful wired baskets. We have 50 of them. They were $50 each, so we're happy to gift that to the region. We found a wonderful nursery to work with out of Chester who've been working with for the past year and a half, and we're really pleased with what they've presented. In addition to my letter, I also provided some receipts from last year to give you an idea of the financial aspect of the flower baskets. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ashley. Any other comments, questions?
Leo?
Hearing none, approval of the minutes, January 24th, 2023. If I Counselor Gidney, seconded by Counselor Brown. Any questions? All in favor? Recommendation 7.1, placement of new outdoor pool. Counselor Romero?
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the placement of the new replacement pool for Milton Centennial Pool on the lands of Queens Place Amera Center.
And a seconder, Counselor Gidney. Any further comments, Counselor Romero?
No further comments.
Any comments? This is a recommendation coming from the pool committee.
Yes, it is.
All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. New outdoor pool design issue, 7.2.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve that the new pool to be placed on the lands of Queens Place Amera Center containing a zero entry design.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. Are there any comments? As we were all made aware, a zero entry design means no steps, no need for a lift, which often malfunctions. It would be a ramped type gentle entry into a pool.
Yes,
a which fits with the accessibility that the provincial government requires.
Just a comment.
Yes.
I'm lost on, we don't have any backgrounds or anything. We just have a motion. I mean, this is.
This all came through discussion at our last meeting, and this is how it was presented.
But, in all fairness, Mayor Norman, the CAO writes up these motions. I think that we should have had background. I think this is disrespectful to the pool committee.
This came from the pool committee, and generally, I'm just going to move onward. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 7.3. Second Mayor Fancy.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve that the new pool be placed on lands of Queens Place Amera Center contains 6 lanes.
And that's seconded by Councilor Brown. Are there any questions or comments? I do have one question to the pool committee. So what happens if, when the design is completed, 6 25 meter lanes and the construction of the remaining of the building doesn't fit there and you have to drop to 5. Does that then you'll have to come back and change this to a 5? You're very confident that 6 lanes plus dressing rooms and everything will fit there.
When we had our last pool committee meeting, of course, Deborah Herman Spontanelli is very well known for her work, and it was measured out and it would easily fit within the confines of it. I mean, if it has to be designed differently, however it may be, and I had spoken with our CAO and said if we pass these 4 resolutions that he could work within those confines of these.
For design.
Yes.
Councilor Romero?
And we also know that 1 lane takes up 2.5 meters, so the total of 6 lanes would be 45 feet.
Any other comments? All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 7.4. Deputy Mayor Fancy?
I recommend that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality authorize the pool committee to submit grant applications for the new pool to be placed on lands of Queens Place Amera Center on behalf of the municipality.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. Any further comments? Deputy Mayor Fancy, would you take the chair?
Yes.
This one motion I am going to vote against. If organizations, and I've asked Deputy Minister of Housing and Municipal Affairs respecting this one. A municipality does not have to give permission to, for groups to apply for this. I am reluctant, unless we speak with our finance director, respecting other groups applying for grants. If it means that they fill the moat and then we have to sign them, but if a group such as the Astor Theater Society wishes to apply for a grant in their name and not ask the region to sign it off on it, then that's a different story. But I am reluctant to vote for this unless I know that if there's an outside group applying, they're applying in their name and not the name of the municipality. So for that reason, I'm not going to support this motion.
Okay, is there any other comments? Councilor Charlton?
I guess maybe some clarification on that comment, because this is a committee of council, so it's not a not-for-profit society. So, well, it is a not-for-profit society, but we appointed this committee, and so we're giving them permission to access grants. So I don't really understand Mayor Norman's comment, I guess, and there was just a reference of our finance staff, so I'm just wondering if there could be some clarification on that, because I took that as other community groups will come forward and want us to sign off on things, but this is a building that we will own, just like we own the Astor Theater. So if that comment maybe could be clarified, I'm just a little confused.
Okay.
I guess my comment was, when you fill out a grant application and expect a staffing person to sign off, then the person that signs that grant is verifying that all the information contained on the grant is true to the best of their knowledge. So even if it's an organization or a committee of council that does not have staff on it, it is not staff who have prepared those numbers and are verifying that those numbers are correct.
Councilor Amaro?
So if this would have been written the way I had presented it, I guess, and the way I had presented it was, the region gives approval to register and apply for grants with consultation and approval from the appropriate staff member. The pool committee or designate will research and write the grants for approval, and then they will go to the appropriate staff to be approved and submit it. So that kind of takes in your
So that
questions.
That is the intention of the pool committee?
The intention
that they
of the
will
pool
do the
committee
research.
Is to Yes,
and provide
is the approval
the information
to register and apply.
And provide the information to staff.
That's
who
right.
Then
for final approval.
Who will then review the documents
yes.
for final approval. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay. Councilor Mears?
So I'm a little lost here. So are we changing the motion to read what Councilor Merrill just said? Or are we leaving the motion the way it is now? Because I'm understanding now that she put it in that way, but this is what came out of it?
Yes.
That's correct.
Councilor Charlton?
I think to Councilor Muse's comment, if we would have had the background information, that background information would have been noted in this, which would clearly say what the intent was. Instead, we're just looking at one piece of paper, and for the public who are here, if they weren't at the January 24th meeting, they wouldn't have a clue how this came about. So I would like to see background reports, even if their motions from committee come forward. I think that we need that, not only for us, but for transparency to anyone else who's in this room or will be viewing this council meeting. I just would like clarification that this motion does not have to be amended to do what the intent is here from Councilor Mero. Will staff, Deputy Mayor Fancy, will staff work in the regard that Councilor Mero had said, or do we need to amend this motion?
I think we should amend the motion so there's no, so it's clear what our intent is.
Councilor Mero said it right. This was what was presented by the pool committee to staff. And what came back as a recommendation was a little bit different, and we weren't wanting to rock the boat with it. But I do feel a little uncomfortable too, because it looks like we're making the application, which is gotta be, the application has to come from the region. So if we were to change this, it's not substantive, I guess. So I think it could be changed and still not affect the recommendation. So I'll leave it open to you.
Could we have Councilor Mero?
Councilor Mero.
So can I amend the recommendation, please? I move that the Region of Queens gives approval to register and apply for grants with consultation and approval from the appropriate staff member. The pool committee or designate will research and write the grants for approval.
I'll second that.
Okay, is there any other questions about that? If not, we'll call for a motion. All in favor? Contrary minded? So carried.
You did that incorrectly. You have to vote first on the amendment. And then
We have to first vote on the amendment. All in favor? Contrary minded? Okay, that passed. So now we'll vote on the amended motion. All in favor? Contrary minded? So carried.
7.5, tax exemption bylaw, first reading. Ms. Plummer, Manager of Finance, there is a recommendation. If someone would make that recommendation, get this matter on the floor. Councilor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give first reading to the bylaw number 14, respecting tax exemptions.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Ms. Plummer.
Yes, so this I bring forward every year. It includes any additions that we've been requested during the year, or any properties that we realize have been sold and are no longer to be on here. There were 5 requests. I put 4 on because it was requested for an apartment building beyond, which we can't classify housing as part of this exemption. So it will be advertised in the paper, and that gives members of the public the opportunity to come and see the list and see if there's anything that they wish to add.
Are there any questions? Councilor Merrill?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. This does come back every year, but I see that it has a first reading and second reading.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite remember that from last year.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did last year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Councilor Brown?
I'm just a little bit curious about the one in Assessment District 13, the Vishwa Nirmala Dharma Educational Society. I know I've had some questions from residents whether that's just for the school or for the residences that they own as well.
Well, that would be why it's at 50%.
It's 50%, okay.
That's not the Debbie School. That's to your question.
Okay.
That is a non-for-profit within Liverpool.
Okay.
And I think you were referring to
referring to the Debbie School.
So you wish to ask that question again in reference to the Debbie School.
Okay.
There was a question over here. Councilor Hawks?
Yeah, the Roman Catholic Corporation, that's for sale. Does that still fall underneath that?
It's a story now.
There's no, yeah.
Okay, so it, when it switches owners.
Oh, just till switching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did ask the question about the Anglican Parish of South Queens, because generally churches are not placed on tax exemption rolls. The province usually puts them there. But that is vacant land that the parish owns. So if anyone knows of other churches or church groups in your districts that have land that is not cemetery, that is not a manse, that is not a church, but the parish is paying taxes on, such as vacant woodland, which some churches do own, then that land can be placed on this roll, just for your information. Councilor Brown?
And I'll come back to my question now about the Devi School in Mill Village.
I'll have to look into that. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, I'll ask for the question on the motion that first reading be considered with Ms. Plummer looking to check out those questions. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Director Grant, there is a motion within your package. Councilor Charles.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality give pre-budget approval to contract in CBCL Engineering to conduct a feasibility study for the extension of services to Mount Pleasant NS at a cost of up to $21,500 plus HST to be funded out of the 2023-2024 operating budget.
And that's seconded by Councilor Mews. Councilor Grant.
So in light of recent presentations made by private developers, we've look to move forward with the next step, see what is possible to be done before we look to how we get it done. So we've engaged with CBCL discussion, which turned into a proposal, which you see the approval here for next steps in this process.
So they'll be checking the capacity, the capacity to supply the water, the sewer.
Identify any necessary upgrades, potential timelines and schedules and triggers for the project.
And am I to understand that this is pre-budget approval, but they are going to start soon?
Later on today.
Yeah. As soon as they're given notice of this, they're starting.
That's right.
Any other questions of Director Grant?
So will they be telling you, like, what size water line to put in and all that? What lift station is going to need?
That's right. So the study will look at, both sides of water and wastewater. We'll look at what we have for existing water, any upgrades that are necessary to feasibly source or supply sourced water to the area of Mount Pleasant, which isn't just a developer sought after properties. It also is going to look at the neighborhood that's up through the high school. If there's any other opportunities that we can improve while we're in the area, that's what the study will identify, as well as wastewater, any upgrades necessary on the system for that, for pump stations, etc.
And Director Grant, when those costs come back, if there's going to be ways to improve the water pressure at the high school, which is problematic, then it will be easily be able to see costed out, which costs would directly be attributed to the high school, so we get a breakdown of
that's right. So
cost.
So part of it, it's a comprehensive study, not meant to look at just the one PID or two PIDs. It's meant to look at the neighborhood as a whole, as a corridor that we can service, long term.
Any other questions of Director Grant?
Nope.
If not, I'm going to ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 7.7. Councilor Charlton.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality give approval to the Astro Feeder Society to apply for a grant for an HVAC system.
Seconded by Councilor Gidney. Discussion on this matter? Councilor Romero.
I'm really aggravated and irritated. irritate it that it took so long to be informed of this request and to hear about it from an email from Lynn Cochran and not from our mayor or CEO, and this has been requested since the 1st of January. I'm in full support of the Astor. It's an incredible gem to our community and a vital link to multiculturalism. I could go on and on about the Astor Theater and the board, but we know that the Astor Theater has touched our lives, every one of us, in one way or another over the years. I don't understand why air conditioning has never been installed in there. The summers are hotter, they're getting more humid, and they're lasting longer. And we need a cooling system. I suspect if we've seen the heating bills in front of us that we'd all agree we need an HVAC system. We've been trying to figure out a way to make this work, and applying for these grants, it's not even a partial grant, it's a full grant, which would save our taxpayers tax dollars. I just don't understand why there's such a problem. And bring the accessibility issue. We all know that we have to have our municipal properties accessible by 2030. And if any of these grants will help, we need an elevator in the Astor. We've just done the ramp, done the door. We need accessible washrooms, and the list goes on and on. So if any of these grants will help, I'm not sure where there is a problem, just give an approval.
Thank you. And to my defense, I cannot speak to the CAO's defense. I was contacted by Ms. Cochran while on vacation a week ago. And I was not made aware of any request that the Astor Theater made in January 1st. For this grant application. It was my understanding from my communication that they had only recently heard about it. So it's unfortunate. I'm not to blame for knowing about this since January, because I learned of this a week ago when I was contacted while on vacation. Councillor Gidden.
I echo Councillor Emero's comments. I think this is very important that we've got a gem in our community, and we should keep it that way and do all that we can to support it, and especially when they're doing all the work and the grants are going to be available. I support it 100%. Thank you.
Councillor Deputy Mayor Fancy.
I appreciate the work that's being done. We can't go anywhere without our community, and we can't expect the staff to fix all the problems. So we have some people that's stepping up to that's willing to work, and we have a great community that's stepping up to do different projects, and I think this is wonderful. It just makes me excited about it.
A comment? Councillor Brown?
I think we've got a number of wonderful assets around Queens County that volunteers look after for us, and I think, you know, to not support them is a loss to the community. I think giving them whatever support they need to keep our assets up for us is well worth it. And I think I'm in support of allowing them to go forward.
Comments? Councillor Charlton?
Just to Councillor Amira's comment, I am deeply concerned that there seems to be no focus on grants here. We are all aware of the problems that the theater has with their cooling. I know I personally took my daughter there for a movie this summer, and within 10 minutes it became unbearable. And because we don't have a focus on these grants is concerning, because when these projects that we know need to be happening, we're often picking and choosing because we're worried about burdening our taxpayers. And in this instance, I don't believe that there will be a burden to the taxpayers. They have the potential to have this project fully funded, possibly. And if they aren't successful in the request, they tried, which is amazing. And we would then have to try to figure out how we're gonna fund that, which we already know we would have to do anyway. So I'm concerned that there's not a focus on the grants here. By having the system replaced, this will save us money. It's being heated with oil. It's obviously not efficient. It can bring more economic value into our community, with the theater being able to have events and plan for things in the summer. allowing them to apply for this grant is really a no-brainer. This will cost us far more if we don't support it. So I too am struggling with the fact that this has become problematic, and I will be obviously supporting this motion. Thank you.
Other comments? I do want to make a couple comments. So Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Yes.
It's unfortunate that this has developed in the way it has. And in the last 4 days, I have investigated the Green Inclusive Community Buildings Fund, which does indeed pay 80% of costs. One of the recent awardants of this grant program was Devour Fest in Wolfville. So I spoke with Rhea and Mike Howe, who applied and developed this grant. After many months of work to put the information in, firm support of their MP, and a team of engineers, they were able to complete the grant application. I understand council's views about grant applications and the need for them. We also know that if we wish to apply for grants, because there are many out there, then we need a staff person, and that is their task. That is what the municipality of the District of Lunenburg has. They have one person, 100% committed to only seeking grants. It's valued in the end because they are successful for it. But yet I have set in budget deliberations where council fret about staffing levels. If we wish to have to secure grants, we need a dedicated staff person to write them on behalf of all of our properties. So I just want you to think about that. If the Astor Theater Society is able to pull together this grant within 2 weeks' time and is not going to require a tremendous amount of work from staff, then that is a wonderful thing. But I was advised that the RET screen application to figure out your carbon things is very tedious. And yes, I am going to allow you to speak.
Thank you. We have pro bono expertise from engineering firms in Halifax that have told us that they would be delighted to take us through the grant application, do all the complicated bits. I've been through it. It's not that onerous, and the government does give you the tools actually do all the calculations, and grant has been designed for the small community hall out in the middle of nowhere, them to be able to grant in without the benefit of ownership, like region, fill in those gaps. So we're not looking for your expertise. We would just love your support and approval.
If that's fine, but I still have reservations respecting this whole matter. And if grants are achieved, does it fit within our project timeline? What other projects are we going to put on hold? We're going to put on hold development of housing. I hear the majority, so I'm going to vote against it because I am just reluctant to place staff in a position whereby they will be dictated and told what their work timelines are going to be if you're successful in receiving that grant. And that's I have the right to do that. So that's just my opinion.
I had a call from one of my constituents on Saturday night that the MP Rick Perkins said gave him a call, and he's in full support of this grant at the Astor.
Councilor Gidney?
I think it's the job of council to direct staff, to direct, I'm sorry, sorry, not to direct staff, but to direct things that we want done. It's up to staff to let us know what can be done and how we can prioritize. So I don't think that will be a staff problem. I really don't think it's a staff problem. And we can work with staff. If they need extra things, we can work with them to achieve the goals that we require. Thank you.
Okay, Councilor Charlton.
I just also like to note, it's my understanding that if the Astor Theater Society is successful in acquiring this grant, that this work will be outsourced. So
yes.
We're not putting a bunch of things on our staff. And also further to that, our staff have to be involved in this at some level at some point regardless. So all we're really talking about today, and I feel like we're getting in the weeds here and these comments are kind of going sideways, but all we're dealing with today is allowing this organization to apply for a grant to potentially have this project that we know needs to be done funded. And with that, I hope we can call for the question. Thank you.
Is there any other questions before?
Question's been called.
Question called. All in favor? Contrary minded? So carried.
Discussion 8.1, Council Information Report. You will see it's getting smaller. Are there any questions about the Council Implementation Report? If not, financial review of the third quarter. Ms. Fino, Director of Corporate Services.
Chased everybody away.
And before you do, just to the South Queens Chamber of Commerce, we have 12 minutes left of time, at which time we can, our video capacity, I've been informed, will run us to 11:30. So I cannot guarantee that we are going to get to your item by 11:30. So we are going to break at 11:30 for 1 hour. And then return at 12:30. Okay, just so you are aware.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. I can feel the love in the room.
Exciting and new.
Exciting and new, that's right. I guess I know how to clear a room, eh? So today we're gonna talk to you, I'm gonna talk to you about our financial review for quarter three. And so everyone should have the financials in front of them. And I'll walk us through the report section by section, pointing out the things that I feel are important for you guys to know. And know at the end, if you have any more questions, please ask. Section one, very important for all of us, is our tax revenue. Deed transfer tax has begun to trend lower with December revenue less than half of October's. Projected total revenue for the year is $1.4 million, which is $600,000 over budget. December's deed transfer tax came in at about $49,000 versus we used to get $170,000. So we are definitely seeing the dip. It's my understanding from anecdotal evidence that the amount of properties for sale left in our region are dwindling. So we knew it was going to come, and it looks like now's the time that it's going to come. So if we look on page two, Branson Lou, this was brought up last year too. We do not get that money until February, so don't panic. We're still getting it. It just hasn't been received yet. The province pays us then. If we look at five, revenue from other sources, return on investments is higher. Obviously, we have the increases in rates. We've also now, with the guidance of the Audit and Internal Control Committee, invested some of our free cash, and I've used the word free, it just means it's not committed, per se, into the GIC strategy to maximize our interest. Mainly what that involves is the money that we put away for the post-closure cost of the landfill, which is $5 million, and also the money for the second generation landfill cell, and eventually that being built, which is $4 million. So we put that GICs that garner us a lot more interest than our deposits if it were just sitting in the bank. And I have a strategy that was approved by the Audit and Internal Control Committee of how all that money is timed in investments. And if you ever want to have a look at it, please just come and see me because it's very transparent. Other interest revenue, so one of the important things to remember when we talk about interest is the interest that you see on the operating statement is only the interest on the operating bank accounts, because the interest on those reserves is kept in those reserves. So for example, in June, when we start getting all of our tax revenue in, that's when we get all our money up front. And then so we just pull it down as we use it. So what I'll be doing with the guidance of the Audit and Internal Control Committee is looking at how much of that money I can take just from sitting in our bank account and putting it into GICs like a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, so that we can maximize the interest. We weren't able to do that this year because we didn't have our ducks in a row in terms of our investment policy from the Department of Municipal Affairs, but this year we will. And that's, you will see more interest, hopefully, if the interest rates stay where they are. They are supposed to go down, but I guess my point is I'm going to start really maximizing all the money we can get so that it does affect the operations and therefore does affect the tax rate. Queen's Place ice rental, fitness memberships, and personal training are tracking significantly over budget, and Director Roberts spoke to that in her presentations. Membership of 14% over budget, personal training 237% over budget, and ice rental is at 99% of budget with one quarter remaining. So as Megan spoke about, the changing of staff in the fitness center has made a significant increase to the revenue over in that department. Recreational programming revenue is over budget as unbudgeted grant funding for Active Living Initiative have been secured. So when Kim applies for funding for her physical activity strategy. Remember, we can't net things out. So her expense goes down in the expense and the grant funding goes up in the revenue. So that's why it's looking over budget, because she applied for as many things as she could. So therefore, our revenue is higher than we expected when we budgeted in March of last year. Section 8, other transfers. This is again where we bring in that money that we have the offsetting expenses for in some cases. And Councillor Gidney pointed out to me there's a $500 difference between this number if you add them all up and what's on the financial statements, and that was a typo for the post-closure report for myself. But there are a number of unbudgeted items which we went over last quarter, the donation for $100,000, our contribution to the playground, the comfort centers. The post-closure report is actually $112,830. We've got the lease commission, hangar buyout, we've talked about that, and the post-closure transfer was more than budget because of the timing of completing the report. Does anyone have any questions about the revenue part before we go on to the expenses? Yes, Deputy Mayor Fancy. Sorry, is that your job?
No, you can.
Okay. That's why I was kind of waiting. But you did a good job. I know the GICs now are around 4.6, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And over a 3-year period, they're actually down to 4.2 or something like that because they projected the interest rate's going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So do we take our money and put it into something in a long-term understanding that probably the interest rate's going to drop?
The maximum term that I can put a GIC in for,
yeah,
is a year. 12 months, because our investment policy dictates that if it's invested in private financial institutions, which the banks are, the maximum I can get is 12 months. So when we did the strategy with the Audit and Internal Control Committee,
okay,
we had what they call laddering. So I move money at the end of every month out of redeemable GICs, which are things you can take out,
right,
like call up and say, I need some money, please put some money in our bank account.
Right.
To non-redeemable GICs that have a higher interest rate because the bank knows they have no money,
right,
to play with for 12 months. That maximizes the amount that we have in that 12-month period to maximize the interest. So to your point, we do the best we can with the investment policy parameters that we have to work within.
Okay.
And the interest rate has dropped slightly. When we started putting money into 12-month GICs, it was at 12%.
What's a bailiwick?
It's like her umbrella. It's her her area of knowledge.
I've never heard that one before.
Sorry.
We have 5 minutes, and then we're going to be dead.
Oh, okay. Any more questions? We're moving right along. So now I'm on page 4 of the financial report. General government services, nothing out of the ordinary really here. I made some notes. We have reduced taxes. We had another $4,500, which means that more people are taking advantage of that for us. So that's great. We're reaching more people with that rebate this year. And our manager of finance, Mallory, will present a report during budget so you guys get an idea of how effective it was. Section 11, transportation services. Because of the supply chain issues, etc., anytime we have to get anything fixed, the costs have been just crazy. $19,000 you see here for pistons. We have $5,000 scissor left circuit board. $13,000 for a front axle on a 2012 Trackless, which I think will demonstrate the fact that we're trying to fix everything we can, as much as we can, so that we don't have to buy new equipment. The environmental services, and I wanted to make this note to all of you, the budgeted figures are slightly off for most debentures. This was due to staff error, that was my error, and one debenture not included in the budget figures. So this will be true of any discrepancy throughout the statements. A review of all debenture accounts was done at the end of the quarter to ensure that all payments have been allocated correctly. So it's not, I guess my point, it was an error on my part when we did budgeting, not a posting error during the year. We still have the fuel charge from GED Trucking. In terms of planning department, we have the Gorica property surveying costs. We have more the budget for our land use bylaw and the public meetings that were surrounded that cost. Administration is under due to inability to fill staffing positions that we've already discussed at length. There's one more lease payment that needs to be paid for the Business Development Center that I can tell you as of today has been paid, but that will be reflected in the year-end financial statements. In the third quarter, a tractor was purchased to support operations for the groundskeepers, and that is funded. It's called capital from operations. It means it's capital that was funded by operations or the tax rate. This expenditure should not cause the budget to be exceeded. And then section 16 is basically the opposite of section 8. This is where we pay things from the reserves to that offset the revenue at the top. The big thing for this quarter that I wanted to share with all of you is if you turn to the water utility, which is the last page, there was a debenture, which is a fancy word for loan. Balloon payment of $245,604 made to pay out the balance on debenture 27A. This was decided and considered during the rate review. We had the extra money in the water operating account. The previous water users had paid enough money to pay this off. So as part of the rate review with the rate consultants and the CAO, we decided that the best course of action, instead of refinancing it and putting more debt on the books for the water utility, we would pay it off, and that's what we did. So that's why you will see on the operating statement, transfer from surplus to fund principal balloon. It really isn't a surplus per se. The surplus is in the bank account. Okay? Is there any other questions about the expenditures? Did I get in under the 5 minutes? No, I didn't, but I'm sorry.
Any questions of Ms. Vino? Doing a fine job.
Yep.
11:30, we're going to take a break for an hour and resume at 12:30. Well, we're all here, so we will resume. Number 8.3, an economic study, ferry services from Maine to Nova Scotia. So as you've read in the document, the province is going to undertake the first ever economic impact study of ferry to determine its long-term investment, and it wants to do it in a fair and open manner. It has provided a list of questions that they think they should answer, and their question to us are there other questions that they should be asking within their study
to determine the long-term economic viability of the ferry. Does anyone have any questions that they think, other than the ones the province is presenting, requesting what the province should be asking?
I don't have a question, but I was just wondering, as far as this document goes, does our Director of Economic Development have a chance to provide any feedback if he thinks that there's anything? Do we ask any of our staff, or have we asked?
They could ask for questions. I have spoken to some staff. I know one of the questions that they think should be answered, and that's to the people that don't use the ferry, that travel by car to Nova Scotia, and they should ask them why they do not use the ferry. Like, if this is about finding out the long-term economic benefit, then perhaps you should question the people that are coming in by land why they're not using the ferry. And then the province can figure out what question to ask. Is it the price? Is it the time? Is it the schedule? What is it? Because there's a majority of people do not use that ferry who are entering this province by car from Maine. Councillor Brown?
I think they should ask the question of what the difference will be if they get rid of the ferry and people have to drive, how many people will lose to stopping in New Brunswick, like if they look at the time frame, because people can leave New England and be in Nova Scotia with their car, but if they have to drive all the way through Maine and New Brunswick, that's a time frame that people are going to not drive the rest of the way to Nova Scotia.
So your question is, the question should be asked, if there is no ferry, will this prevent or discourage
people from coming?
Discourage visitors to Nova Scotia? That's a good question.
Anecdotally, when I've gone to New England and when we didn't have the ferry, I talked to a lot of people down through New Hampshire and Maine who said, oh, the ferry's gone, I won't be going to Nova Scotia because I have to drive the whole way up around. I just won't go. So they would take a trip somewhere else rather than spend 6 or 8 hours on a ferry that they could rest while they're driving instead of spending that 8 hours of driving time. They just won't do it.
I think that question has been answered. Because when the ferry wasn't running, the things that were going on in Yarmouth,
yeah,
and the surrounding area. So I think we have a better idea that
it's not
being utilized. My question is, why is Americans getting such a hard time with docking? I mean, that's a major problem. We spent X number of dollars on American sites, and I find that very wasteful in some sense, because I'm not sure, like, we have no control on the money that they're requesting. So I think there's got to be a better solution with our foreign partner for docking the boat.
So, but this is, they're asking us what we want them to study. So your thing is, you think the study should have the question.
Docking facilities in the States.
Investigate?
Yes. How many millions of dollars have we spent?
You say challenges?
Yes. That's a good, yes, thank you.
Of docking services. We're probably going to be on off base on all of our questions, because what they're preparing is an economic impact study for Nova Scotia.
So we should stick to that.
So that's what it is.
Oh,
so
okay. But it is an economic.
But we can still send our questions in. You know,
it,
at
time,
least it
so.
Shows us we put thought in it. We'll send them in. If they don't want to use them, they don't have to use them. But it's an economic impact study. So we see what they're going to look at for questions? And do you want me to ask Mr. Lane if he has any other things to add? Is there anything else that we finish with that?
No, I think I've got.
Councilor Brown?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it falls under one of the other questions, but I know part of the issue when they were in Portland was that the trucks taking seafood down to New England couldn't go through because Portland banned them from taking big trucks through the city. I'm not sure if that's been taken care of, whether in Bar Harbor now, but we need something that's not just for tourism. We need export to be able to go out there.
All right, so then we think the study should also examine the importance
of exports,
of ferry service for export,
yeah,
or how they could better support export,
yeah,
ferry service to better support the Nova Scotian economy. Anything else? Okay. 8.4 Mersey Wind River Farm Project. I didn't have an item. It's on there. Did I lose it?
That was that big document.
That was that document.
Someone's probably just an update, just that we received on the environmental.
Were we asked to submit anything on that? No, that was just an update. Did everyone have a chance to look through that?
Yes. Got a couple of good nights sleep out of it.
Yeah. Do you have any comments about it? I see there's another meeting coming up. It was postponed last night. But there's another one, the 16th, I believe, at Best Western.
Yeah. And I attended both the first two. They're well informed, so people should attend if they have any questions.
Yeah. So what's interesting to note is they've done a wide range of habitat, looking for rare invasive species. Their intention is the 33 turbines. The area has been previously forested. There's lots of roads. It's close to major transmission to hook into the Milton Station. If granted, they will give back to the community a community investment fund to be used for the development of recreational facilities. And they also, according to provincial law, have to provide monies back for the amount of kilowatt hours each windmill has the ability to produce. So even if the wind didn't blow for a year, if they have the ability to produce power, then they have to pay us for that power they have to produce. So Mike, acting CEO McLeod, he does have the documents in his office. I took them home one evening at the end of the day. You can't take them during the day, but I took them home at the end of one day and brought them in the next morning. They contain some really interesting maps that just kind of show you all sorts of things. The appendix, you don't need to read, but if you just like to, you know, it just takes a couple hours to read the main volume. So I just, if you're interested in it, in case you hear anything from constituents, just arrange from Mr. McLeod to take that document home at 4:30 and have it back here the next day at 8:30.
Is that document available for members of the public on our website?
I don't think we downloaded it. We have the link.
Yes, it's not on our website.
But they have a means to access it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. The link is available. Councilor Brown?
It's a fairly comprehensive environmental assessment. I mean, they looked at a lot of stuff and they answered a lot of questions. So if anybody takes the time to read it, there is a lot of information in there. But it's even broken down to the carbon offsets, the amount of carbon that goes into making the steel, transporting it. They broke it down to show the benefits and the pitfalls. I think they were fairly open and honest about it, or it appears to be.
Right, so anyway, I encourage, if you haven't read it, the easiest way to read it, I find, is to read it from paper, so. And the public is also available, is available for anyone from the public who wants to come in and sit and read it here, if they wish to look through it.
It's also at the Thomas Riddell Library.
And it's also at the Thomas Riddell Library. Administrative policy number 9, property tax exemption. Plumber manager finance, and this is relationship to our low income tax exemption.
Yep, so last year council approved the increase the minimum level of income from 24,000 to 30,000. That saw an additional 50 applicants that were approved by doing that. And they also increased the level from 250 to 300. So last year I think that we only used $60,000 of the budget, and it's well over 98,000 now. So the uptake on it this year has been very well.
So Ms. Plummer needs to know, should we keep it the same? And therefore just realizing that the subscription rate it had. As council, you have the ability to up the lower income level higher, and you also have the ability to increase the amount that you give for exemption. But for budgetary measures, Ms. Plummer needs to know what it is, what your wish is, to keep it the same as what it was. Councilor Muse?
I think it worked well the way that we have it set up now, and I don't think we should do any changes to it.
You don't think it should be increased or anything?
Nope.
Councilor Romero?
I'd like to increase the exemption level because, well, we have some money that's not being utilized. It would actually really benefit that really need it.
We've actually went over budget.
Oh, we went over?
Yeah,
we went
no
over.
It was over. It was oversubscribed.
Oh, okay.
When I look at the numbers, what I see is that we've got 316 applicants in Queens County that make under $30,000 a year. And those 316 families are going to be hit hard by the 8.8% or 8.7% increase in the assessment rates. Whether we can lower our tax rate or not, or if we have to leave it the same, tax rates are going up for everybody. And I think we need to look at about $50. At least $50 should cover for most people the increase in their tax rate that they're going to see from this rate.
So you're saying you think it should be increased to a
$350
amount?
To $350,
yeah. Do we have, I think you, I saw in here somewhere, or you mentioned that there were a number of people within that 316 whose taxes didn't reach 300, so we totally paid them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sense of how many people it didn't cover, like their full taxes, but majority?
Yeah.
So the majority of people wouldn't have been covered.
Right, but then if they receive the guaranteed income supplement, they can also, and they don't even have to apply because Penny has it, do it electronically. If 2021 taxes are paid for, they can apply with the province minus any amount that we paid for them, and they are eligible for 50% of their taxes up to $800. So there's quite a bit that they can get back.
So Councillor Brown is suggesting that we increase the amount to $350. Realizing that last year we went over by 8,000, so another $50, I see.
15,000.
Would be another 15,000?
15,800.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be.
In theory.
Not necessarily.
Well, no, I mean that's.
Well, more
yeah.
People may subscribe.
They may.
As the word gets out.
Yeah, but for $15,000 on the percentage of our budget, it's not a huge amount. It's about 0.01 cent on the tax rate. But for people who are living on poverty, who are being hit by an 8% increase in the cost of living and an 8% increase in their taxes, they're getting a double benefit. I think $50 is a huge benefit to them it's not a huge cost to us.
Councilor Charlton?
Yeah, I looked up a few other surrounding municipalities just trying to get an idea, because I remembered we upped ours last year, because I remember seeing like Modal had up theirs, and so I was just looking, trying to get an idea, and what I noticed was, out of the few that I looked at Modal's, Town of Bridgewater, excuse me, Shelburne, CBRM, all of them but CBRM had tiers. So Modal goes up to a household income of 38,000, but they have three different tiers. So if you're under 24,000, they have up to 530. If you're in the 24 to 29,000, 265, and if you're in the 30 to 38,000, 106. And then the Town of Bridgewater, similar, theirs goes up to, their household income is 29,590, but in their tier range, in that category, you can get 235, and then as you go down, it goes up as high as 710 if you're in the 0 to 16,000 income bracket. Shelburne's I didn't write down, I just wrote that they were tiers. So maybe it would be worth having our staff look at maybe like a tier option, if other members of council thought that, where there's more financial support for a lower income and still some support for the higher one. I don't know. I just found it interesting that when I looked at all those municipalities, they all had tier systems. So I'm just wondering, you know, what that could look like for us. CBRM was a household income of 35,000. And they were up to 300, so very similar to us, except we're at 30. So I guess basically what I saw was nothing was really under 29. Like it seemed to be in the 29 to 35,000 was the household income range, but the amounts differed in tiers for certain municipalities. So I'm not against potentially doing an increase, maybe like Dave said. I just wonder, would it be more helpful to do it in tiers, I guess. So put our staff over.
And I guess my question is to the clerk, who would be responsible for developing a new policy, and to Ms. Plummer, who is getting your budget numbers in line. Mm-hmm. So A, it would take the development of a policy, which would have to pass through council. So what is the time frame that we would look for the development of a new policy?
That would really depend on how much council wants to prioritize it. I mean, coming from what Council Charlton said, like she's already done some research that hopefully you could pass over to me that could help guide some of the things, and then working with the manager of finance, if we have the information as to, I guess, income brackets of applicants versus to see, I guess, which categories are more populated. Do we have a significant number under 16,000, or do they more sort of focus around a range? Then that could help inform whether a tiered system would best fit the community need. So I guess short answer, it could be a couple weeks if it were to become the top of the pile.
And
so
is this something that we work toward next year?
We looked at this, and actually that used to be how I presented this report. I used to have what other municipalities or towns did, but council at the time just found that it was just easiest to give the straight $250, but I can certainly look into that if that is your wish.
Councilor Muse?
I don't think we should change it. Manager of Finance said that, you know, it's automatically going to go to the province now. So most of the people that I talk to, their taxes are paid for. So if we stick it to the $300 and then it goes to the province, their taxes are pretty well paid off. So I think it's working the way it is now. And with the province automatically now going to get it, I think we leave it the way it is.
So let's discuss the first item first with a show of hands. How many people think it should stay at three? I'm going to ask two questions. How many thinks this should stay at 300? How many thinks it should go to 350? How many people for 300? Two. How many people for 350? Okay, so we're looking at 350. Second question. How many people think between now and budget that we develop a new policy and look at tiered systems? Show of hands. How many people think we remain with the system we have? Okay. So that's the number I guess you should work with.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
Yes. We also have to agree whether we, the 30,000 household income, if that's staying or.
Right. Well, no one had made any suggestion about that, so I assume you're
all. Well, I just thought I'm open for.
Is there anyone who does not agree that it stays at 30,000? Okay, so that's it.
Sorry. But though the policy, I just thought, is it possible, I guess it was possible to explore if it was, like Eric had said, our clerk, if it made sense for our community, so. But if, I guess, if the will of council isn't to explore that, I was just curious, I guess, A, if it had been looked at in the past, and if we could use that as a guide to make our decision, not to commit right today about making a policy, I guess, if that.
You see, our next item is going to be budget selection date, which is going to be in the next couple of weeks. But if this council wishes to explore the tiered system, I'm sure we have plenty of time between now and next fiscal year to do so. Or if you have time to put those numbers together for a budget meeting, so we'll see how that would work at that point in time. So does council wish?
I have a question. Before we make any final decision, what Councillor Muse said about them going to the province, if we raise this to 350, does that then save the province $50 on their amounts?
Well, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Oh, now you got to backpedal a bit?
Well, no, I want some clarification before I make a 100% decision, because I don't want to spend, I want to spend money to help our residents, but I don't want to spend money to save the province money.
And that's
so,
what we're going
to
do.
So when it goes to the province will pay half of the remaining taxes up to $800.
Yeah.
So if a person's tax bill is $1,000, we pay $300, remains $700. The province pays half of $700, which is $350. Mm-hmm. So the person would have to pay $350. It's only if their tax bill would be like $600 or so that they would, not even that. It would have to be pretty low for them to have all their taxes paid. But there are some that doesn't. Yeah. Because the province only pays half of the remaining taxes up to $800. So if you have
it's
a $2,400 tax bill.
I don't think it's the remaining taxes,
yeah.
Is it?
Well, taxes have to be paid in full, so it wouldn't
be
remaining because it's based, like, if you're applying this year, it's based on 2021 taxes being paid in full. So that's back a year.
So now if you say a couple dozen and there's 316 applicants, that still leaves a lot of people out.
Oh yeah.
I'm just wondering, based off of Kevin's comment, if that's why some of these other municipalities have tiers. Does that have something to do with, like, how the province? So, I don't know. I just think, like, we can, if we want to explore doing like the 350, like Dave said, like I support that, but I think we just need to have some context come back, and I don't think this should be something that's rushed, and if it can come forward with some more context and budget deliberations for us to decide, I think that would be helpful.
Got the time capacity to find the time. Seems like burning at nighttime. So is everyone fine with that? With that direction? Because that was only one voice. Are we fine with sending Ms. Plummer off to investigate three tiers and everything else between now and budget?
Yes.
That's two voices. Show of hands, who's fine with sending her off to do that? Okay.
Yeah, because when you do the math in your heads, if we increase it by 50 and the province only pays half of what the difference is.
Right.
Our $50 gains them $25, so we're not really getting good bang for our buck if we're not doing it the right way.
So selection of budget meeting date, if everyone would look at the calendars, and Ms. Vino, who's in charge of all of her finances and is aware of senior management getting their departmental works together, 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time?
Preliminary set the date as March 2nd, Thursday, March 2nd, 9 a.m. as the day for our first budget meeting.
March 2nd.
I'm out.
counselor not available on March 2nd?
Indeed, I think.
Counselor Charlton?
I'm just curious, I guess we've never really talked about this, but could we have any of our budget meetings either like later in the day or early evening to allow the public an opportunity to attend?
That's, I guess I want our directors to comment on that because it's their work day, not ours. And we tend to do 7 hours easily. It would be like if we started at 3, our directors are still here at 8:30.
I think there would be a way to compromise that. And looking at other municipalities and their budget structures, they don't usually schedule a whole day of budget meetings. It's usually like 2 to 3 hours, which I also think, in fairness to members of council, it would be a lot easier to digest information in a couple sessions than to do it in 7 or 8.
So you're saying do it in 7?
I find it, I mean, I'm only one voice, but I find it very overwhelming for a 7-8 hour session. I mean, we usually only end up having like 2 of them. It's not very many, but if we broke it up, it would be a little bit.
So you're suggesting maybe 4 or 5, and then we'd have to do 1 general wrap-up. Because in 4 or 5, you'd only get, you'd get your, like, I just see Director Grant, you'd get your proposal from Director Grant for his part of the budget and maybe someone else's. And then you'd break, and then you'd have another meeting where you get a proposal from another departmental thing, and then you'd break. And I mean, anything's possible. I'm just, do the majority of council feel that the past system is too much of an overload and that you would prefer to have 4 2-hour sessions?
That's
and then you'd have to still have a full day toward the end because you have to put it all together, because I see Director Vino nodding her head that there still needs to be that full day when you put all the pieces together. Councilor Brown?
I kind of worry that if we break it up into too many small sections, that we concentrate on 1 or 2 department budgets, we come to an agreement on those in our heads, and then we start not doing things down the road. I'd like to get at least one big overview first of everything to make a rapid pass through it, so that we have an idea of what all the departments' budgets are, what our complete budget is, and then we can dive into it at more detail later. But
and I see your point on that.
Yeah.
Because what he's saying is, if we only hear from 1 or 2 departments without knowing what's coming from the other departments, because generally we hear what comes from all the departments, and then we go back and start, I don't know, Director Vino, do you have any suggestion of how, and I guess that was only one person, so, and so before I ask you that question, are there other people who would like to see it broken down into smaller sections rather than 1 or 2 days? Councilor Muse?
I could see us doing 1 day to get everything on the board, and then after that, doing a smaller session.
Okay, so but back to Councilor Charlton. So Councilor Charlton has suggested small ones. Councilor Muse has suggested 1 large and then small. So now we have 2 options. Before I ask a question about what you want, is there any other options? No other options. So we have 2 options. 1 full day where everything, okay. You have another option?
Well, no, I just wanted to go back to where we were, that we would need a wrap up. So, you know, if we do one large and then the small ones and then a wrap up session at the end, I think we kind of need that global approach.
Okay. Agreeable with that, Councilor Muse?
Yep.
Okay. So we have this suggestion of we get the full budget picture at one time, so we know what's coming from every department. And then we figure out, make our comments, send staff back, and then certain departments can do their bits of work and come back and present, but then we still need a full wrap up. Or we have a series of small sessions. So how many for a series?
Sorry, could I just make a comment?
Yep.
And so I, part of the reason why I said about breaking it up into smaller sessions rather, would be that we have a plan. So what I've found in the last 2 years is like, there's a plan with the budget, but as far as the public go, who are trying to participate, they find out like 3 days before a budget meeting. And so my thought process was, if we had a plan, like I've seen other municipalities where it's like this day they're presenting their operating, and then this day they're presenting capital, and they've broken it up, that it can be advertised, and so that people are made aware. Because that's the struggle I have found in the last 2 years, is that people aren't aware, and they can't plan in advance to be here, because it's like a 3 day notice. So that was my thought process.
So if we were to advertise within a timely time frame of the meeting being held, let's say a week out, and we already know we can't do March 2nd, but we're going to come up with a date today, or a beginning date, then we can actually start advertising that date at this point in time.
We can.
So that
just
solve that
issue. I just feel like it's still a lot for someone like in an 8 hour. It is, in my opinion, information overload, but I'll respect what the majority of council decide here.
So what does the majority council want to do? The full day, get the full picture painted, Councilor Brown?
I think Director of Finance looked like she had a suggestion.
Yes.
So last year we had the big day session in North Queens, remember?
Yep.
And we spent all day going over the whole budget from start to finish, so everyone had an idea of where we were at. Then I took Anne Mallory, myself, took all of the suggestions from council, and we went back and we came up with a different version, version two. And we had a 3 hour meeting to go over that version, and we tweaked that. Then we had a 2 hour meeting to go over, so we tweaked in smaller versions. So there was always the big one day, because it's very, very important, especially this year with the significant amount of capital investment that's being made, that you as counselors get an overview of where we are in terms of finances for the whole year. And I will be providing a debt projection for the next 10. So it's important, I really believe, that you get that one day where you have it all. And then we can do shorter meetings and tweak them. Now, this year, I would suggest that we have a shorter meeting that just focuses on capital projects. Once you know where we are, and then we can wrap that into reviewing the operating budget. I don't know if you remember last year, but every time we had a meeting, we put a sheet up that said this is what we changed since last meeting, and this is what we updated, so we always knew where we were. Now, Councilor Sharp, to your point, when we get to the end, once we have the dates, we can start advertising today. But when we get to the end, if you want to have that final meeting in the evening, where, you know, council basically rubber stamps it before we bring it forward, council as a motion, I certainly don't have a problem with that. And I'll be probably the only director here at that point, because you will have heard from all of the other directors. So I certainly don't have a problem with that at all. And I just think it would be unfortunate if you guys didn't have the overview perspective of everything up here at the higher level before you started getting into the nitty-gritty of different. And like I always say, this budget process is for you, so we can curtail it whichever way you want it. And maybe after we have the big overhaul of the whole thing, maybe you can say, okay, Joanne, we'd like to see this section, the capital section, and this section all separate. We can work with that. The more sessions we have, the harder it is to get everybody there that needs to be at the table, because everybody has busy mm-hmm. lives.
Yes.
And we are under a time crunch. Last year, we had everything approved by March 22nd, which is great. But we and other municipalities, you know, they pass their budgets, and as we have done before, in April. But we do have a time crunch there, because we have to balance our taxes to get our bills out. So we need to have the budget done by May the 1st. That's our deadline. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that. We're here to support you, and if you found that, you important, but remember, I know you guys all probably blocked it all out because it was PTSD, but we had the big meeting and then they got shorter after that as we got into it and everything was fine-tuned and we didn't have to go over all the things every time because you guys had already been, you'd already seen it all.
Do we agree with that?
Yes.
I can live with that.
Can live with that? Okay. Yeah. So now we need to look at a date.
Yeah. So how about the March the 3rd, which is a Friday?
March 3rd? March 3rd, good?
Yeah, I don't think I got anything.
March 3rd, good?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. And do we want to take, what's the best way to do that lunch break? Do we take an hour and...
Yeah, have an hour.
Have an hour and everyone go out, go wherever to get out of here rather than bring food in. Actually, it's much cheaper for the region if everybody goes, because a lot of people don't submit lunch bills. So it's much better that way. And remember, you know, there's a microwave and stuff here, or you can, those who live in town can run home or whatever. Okay, so March 3rd.
And so what we'll do is the following week, I'll sit down with our manager of finance and we'll suggest some other days to have those other 3-hour meetings. Two in the following week and one the week after.
And I'm looking at our communications director.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably communicate that to the public now or to mark their calendars if they wish to be part of or list or be into,
in
we'll say 9 to 12 and 1 to 4:30 or whenever it's over. Councilor Charlton?
Yes. I thought Joanne just mentioned something about two the following week. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if we can maybe pre-plan these a little bit ahead. Like I work every day. I have a lot of work.
Okay.
It, so
looking at the week of March the 6th.
So March 8th, I'm not available. We have a library steering committee meeting.
Okay.
So
in the
March
afternoon.
The 3rd is Friday.
Just in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we have March 3rd.
That's
yeah.
a big day.
Yeah.
That's all
yeah.
day. So,
so the staff needs time.
So financial perspective, we're not going to have anything ready to come back to you probably till March 8th at the earliest.
Could we do March 10th?
Yeah.
Another Friday.
And that will be, I'll look at it. Shouldn't be a full day, probably more like half.
March 10th, everyone?
Yep. And that's another
check
Friday.
Check calendars.
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Oh, can you do later in the day, Deputy Mayor Fancy?
I'll be gone to 4 o'clock.
Oh, you'll be gone to 4. Okay, so no, we're not asking staff to come in Friday night.
No.
What about the Thursday the 9th? Thursday the 9th?
Works.
What are we envisioning for time, like 2 to 3 hours?
Couple hours?
3 hours. 3 hours.
3 hours?
Towards the end of the day?
At 1 o'clock?
We can start at 1.
We'll start at 1.
March 9th at 1 o'clock?
March
9th
1 at 1. And
then we're looking at the 15th.
And then there's another, the next meeting.
That's going to be an hour.
So we have council that Tuesday.
At the 14th.
And it's also March break. We usually lose some of our staff over March break, if memory serves me correct.
Okay.
Like on for vacation.
I don't know which staff.
So there's council on the 14th?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
But could we do the following week?
Or could we do it during council? We won't know what's on the agenda by then.
Well,
can it wait until the next week, understanding that you said May 1st, you want the budget approved by?
So we're going to do one meeting on the 9th, and then we're going to come back and do another meeting on the 20th. That will be the following
on the Monday
after March break.
The 20th doesn't work for me, but I could do the
21st.
I thought we said 17th.
No,
it doesn't work for Jack.
I know.
No, the 10th didn't work for Jack.
But what's wrong with this? The 17th March break, so Councillor Charlton said there's going to be staff away for March break, so we can't do it then. So we're looking at the week of the 20th, remembering that this needs to be approved by May the 1st.
I don't know, and that's the worst case scenario.
The worst. The latest we can let it go.
Because I will not be here from the 5th of April
right.
until 17th.
So we want this done by the end of March.
I would prefer it, but I'm not the one in charge here.
But do we know when the gas tax, or whatever you call it, when's that coming? Do we know what we're getting this year from that?
No, because I'm involved in those municipal arrangements, and it probably is gonna stay the same as what it was last year.
But I know in our previous budget, we hashed out all of our budget, and then they announced that they doubled gas tax.
I would not expect doubling.
Well, I'm just saying, we don't know, so I just feel like we should have a little bit of flexibility there. I feel like they had set, they'd have to say it by the end of March.
Oh, gas tax is not, nothing to do with operations. Gas tax is all about reserve and capital projects, so we can find out 2 months later how much we get for gas tax and what that'll do, and part of the budget process will be me talking to you all about our reserve activity, and you'll see that it'll just have to do with, we'll juggle how capital projects are financed, but gas tax is not used for anything operationally, so it's not tax rate dependent, I guess is my point.
Right, but for a capital budget, it still would be?
Yes, but we can focus on the operating budget, that's the priority, because that's what drives the tax rate. And then if the capital, the CIP, the capital investment plan is tweaked a little bit afterwards, that's not gonna be as big of a deal.
Okay.
We can just, yeah.
Okay.
So what's, I guess, the week of March break, what is it you're concerned about? There's no staff here for that?
Not no staff, but I know we've tried to meet before with budget over March break, and our CAO told us there are staff in this building who take vacation time over March break for whether it be hockey tournament or something else.
Yeah.
I know Mike's on his end, but, and also, it's just, it's
okay.
Busy time, I guess.
Fair enough.
That's my comment.
So the 20th is a no, the 21st.
Was the 20th a no?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 21st is a no.
That's
the 21st is
good.
Are we talking another 3 hours for this one?
Couple.
But we're getting to the end there, Councilor Romero.
Okay.
So
that would be a council day.
No.
No.
The 21st,
14th,
second.
And the 28th.
Oh, right. The second and the fourth.
So the 21st.
What were you envisioning for the evening meeting? Are you talking about
when it's all done?
Come back the following week potentially for budget approval at our evening council meeting?
No.
Is that what you meant?
No. I would like to have I always like to have a meeting before it gets to that point, where we go over the final.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ask me any questions you have before we get to the point where we're literally tapping in the tax rate into that budget recommendation.
Okay.
That was the meeting I was thinking about having in the evening, where I could walk. So it wouldn't be a day, because we wouldn't do all the fluffy stuff, I call it, at the beginning about all the assessment rates and all that stuff. But we would actually go through the budget, like line by line, just reiterating what we talked about as, it's basically a review, just like we did last year, and just say, okay, are you happy with it? Say yes, and then we go there, okay, staff have been given direction, and then we write up the recommendation for the next meeting. That would be the one that I would be able to have in the evening, because it wouldn't really involve anybody else, because you guys will have asked all the directors any questions you had.
So are you envisioning meeting number 3 being that, or we're not there at that point?
I don't think we'll be there for that one. I think meeting number 4 will be me in the evening with all of you, just doing the final stamp on everything.
And do you want that done before you leave?
Yeah.
It would be nice if I did get it. If the recommendations come in whilst I'm away, Mallory can handle all that.
So if we did a meeting the week of the 20th, the 24th, and did that final meeting the next week, that would probably work, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
So the 21st would work for a couple hours.
So are we good with the 21st?
And we want to do it a later in the day? Councilor Charles, is it better for you to do it later in the day?
If that works for everybody else, that would be good for me, but I can make the morning work.
Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter?
No.
21st, morning or afternoon?
They said it doesn't matter, so
okay,
whatever's
let's
best.
Do morning.
Whatever's best for staff.
9 a.m.
March
21st.
To noon. Yep, and then the following week,
will be the
any preference?
Week.
Now, you guys have night council on the 28th, so we're both going to do that.
No.
So do you want to do it on the 29th?
Wednesday night or Thursday night?
Thursday?
Thursday is the
30th.
So we all good? So what, 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock
March
on the 30th?
March 30th at 6.
Okay, I'm So he'll send us out invites, so we have all of these down in our calendars. So just to review, I have March 9th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, March 30th, 6 till.
Yeah, the third?
The first one is March the 3rd, that's all day.
Yes.
Yep.
So like plan to beat 9 to 4?
Yep.
At least, yeah. 9 to 4, March the 3rd, March the 9th, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so it'll be 1 to 4, maybe 4:30, we'll see where we are. March 21st, 9 a.m. And March 30th, 6 p.m. Hopefully at that point, we'll be good. We'll just be reviewing everything, rubber stamping it, and ready for the recommendations at the following council meeting, which will be probably the one away.
April 11th.
Yeah.
And by then, there shouldn't be, we'll all have.
We'll be good.
And we usually don't comment.
No.
During our budget presentation.
No, everything will
anyway.
Be posted, ready to go. And you know what, worst case, we've given ourselves a couple weeks grace. So for now, I think that's a great start.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, that's done. And we'll advertise. Council, do you want to advertise all the dates with a little asterisk saying as required for the little meetings?
Yeah, we
so
can
people
do that.
Can book them off,
yeah.
Because we may not need that third, like who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll just ask.
We
for
may
them.
Skip the third one and keep the evening one. We
right.
may, you know
but
what
we'll
I mean?
Just
but yeah,
asterisk the
first one is a
ninth.
Definite. Second one I would say is pretty definite.
Definite.
Unless you guys are all like,
yeah.
Just say yes to Ann.
Yeah.
Yes to Ann. Yes, Mallory. Yes, Mallory.
Have you met us
not
before?
Not
going to
happen.
And we'll publicize those dates on a regular basis.
And
put
are
them
we
on our website?
Are we doing all of those meetings
they'll
here?
They'll be in our minutes.
In chambers?
They're all
yeah.
being held
okay.
here. They'll be in our minutes, and they'll be. I'll tell it.